Well, happy Rusev Day, everybody. This is We Watch Stuff number 137. I am Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Getting ready for the leave for WrestleMania myself. I had to get a haircut and deal with some of the nannies that happened in a black barbershop.
So it's not like the Ice Cube movie? That's the second time in two shows I've done something like that.
It's kind of like that. It depends on where you live. Like, it's not too much embellishment. It's people that swear they know things. Some of them actually smart. Most of them aren't. But it's like, it's nothing hilarious than a guy in his 55 years old, dressed like George Clinton, talking about how gay people scare him and he can't. I'm like, do you not own him? Like, tell me, I don't know how they do that, how you have glitter in your beard. I'm like, you have on moon sneakers. and skinny jeans and a vest with, like, leather pouches, and you about 5 years from Social Security. Yep. Obviously, you're not looking at those mirrors in the barbershop.
Yeah, and it's like, you're wearing that on purpose. It's like, you didn't lose a bet.
Yeah. Like, you can't be dressing like you're 15 when you probably have grandkids that are 15 years old.
Well, I guess the argument can be made, though, like, well, you gotta stay young, right?
Uh-huh. Like, when you see the Rock and Roll Express and you see them trying to stay young, let me know how that looks.
You win. which I was telling you before we started, like, Kevin was asking about going to WrestleCon Sunday, and I'm not totally against it, but that stuff really does bum me out. That's why I don't go to any of these nostalgia shows. Like, I felt bad for Rock and Roll Express at the Hall of Fame. You know, they're there celebrating. Cool, they should. You know, it's these guys, regardless of how you see it, it's still, they're being recognized for a career well run. Probably not well run, but you know what I mean. But just knowing that they're still out there on the circuit, no. The saddest is still, and this is the exact reason I told Kevin I wasn't really up for it. I'm like, I hope Demolition's not going to be there. And guess who, mid-page, like, featured all that was Demolition. Like, old, which is funny. Like, they weren't exactly young. We just didn't know. But
They were old when we were young, and now we're old.
Yeah.
And it's not like age. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the bills have to be paid, and there are some people who like that, and it's not like they're knocking off banks or liquor stores to pay the bills. So it's worse things that can be doing than, like, doing indie wrestling in your 50s and 60s. Yeah. I know it can be depressing for us, but it's like, you know, we're older too. So
yeah, well, I don't drudge them for making a living. I don't have to participate.
Yeah, that's fair. It's kind of like, you know, you can go ahead and do it. I don't have to, like, invest my time in it. Yeah. I'm not going to hate them for doing it. It's just weird, though, when you see people like, oh, I'm the young high flow. Like, I guess it kind of sunk in a lot of people that Shawn Michaels cutting his hair.
I was going to bring that up, which is why we started the show.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, wow. But it's like, yeah, Shawn Michaels is old people. Old people can accept being old and dressing old. Like, Triple H did the same thing. Edge, all of them. Like, I can admire them because at least it's kind of like, I'm not trying to grab more on the youth that's not there anymore. I don't have anything to prove. I'm just being young. It's not like I'm going to be 45 years old and get a tramp stamp.
Oof. Yeah. That was never a good look on a guy to begin with. And who was it? Was it Lance Hoyt? Uh-huh. Remember him in TNA? He got one. And it was like, what are you doing? Or he had one. I think still does, obviously. But it was like, sir, do you not understand? Like, you don't hear men called tramps very often. Or, well, not since the 20s, probably. So it's like, you know who those are pretty much designed for, correct? But yeah.
Well, it's worse. I guess, you know, he's going to get the full Affleck.
Okay. I know, I don't go, well, we'll go with the tattoos here, but I had no idea that was a thing. And I know, like, people, you know, set, whatever, they found him on set, and that's how they were going about it, but holy boy, how much is he worth, you know?
A lot.
And that's like the best you can get, man? I mean, come on.
That's the thing, it's not that it's is that it looks cheap. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, that's something you get when you're like in college or like, you know, you join the military, you get your first military bonus and you want to show how cool you are. That's when you get like, you're like 22. He's a cash man.
Not a million-dollar Hollywood player.
Yeah, you know? Like it just looks, not even like how big it is, because even then it's like, you know, tattoos or that's fine, it's your choice. It's just, I've never been a fan of like cheap-looking ones, because one day you'll get old, and seeing old people with cheap big tattoos is not a pretty sight. And I know they say, well, it's not for you, it's for them. It's like, yeah, but
you're correct.
We're still looking at them. Yeah. It's not like, you know, you showing them off, I'm not Stevie Wonder, I'm going to see it.
Okay, one, the Stevie Wonder thing, can we have another famous blind guy already?
Who's blind is still alive?
That's famous. I don't know.
Yeah, Ray Charles died.
Yeah. And like, because we've been using the Stevie Wonder stuff since we were kids. You know, it's never gone out of style, but it's like, we're going to need a new famous blind guy.
It wasn't that many to begin with. It was Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles died. So,
well, there was Jeff Healey, the Jeff Healey band. He was always one, but he died already too. Yeah. So,
can you name another one off the top of your head?
Not a one. No, I'm being dead serious. Not a one.
Exactly. Like death is You know, is Helen? Like
Helen Keller, we still use.
Yeah. Her. And death was Marlene Maitland. Beyond that, it's like, yeah, that's how we are. It's like it's not a lot of people. Oh, such and such. Yeah, like, huh? Yeah.
Boy, the opportunities for fame for those people are few and far between. Because even, and this is a really bad one, but it's like, do you remember that show Life Goes On? With I had the retarded kid in it, or the kid with Down syndrome. His name was Corky on the show.
Uh-huh.
So whenever someone would act stupid, it was, all right, Corky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we haven't had a new retarded guy in a long time, so
because one, we don't really use those terms anymore, and two, it's like kind of shy away from, like, there's a reason we don't do that anymore, because like it looks kind of icky in like in the light. Like it's funny, like, you know, stuff we used to do in the 70s and 80s and even 90s we don't really do anymore. And I mean, we used to not do any, like, things change, as you can see, like Roseanne is a thing now, and I'm like, yeah, so, but yeah, it's kind of like you get that one thing and one person's famous for it, so they're always famous for it. It's like, you know, Stevie Wonder's done all these hits and all, you know, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and yada yada yada, and what's the main thing? Oh yeah, why do they have a blind man in front row seats at a Lakers game?
You know why? Because he's got the disposable income to waste his money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Or the comments like, oh, you know, they have him there because he's not really blind. It's just been a long time. Because that's been the whole urban myth, you know, like, it's funny about the urban myth that happened. That's been the main one, Steve, one, like, he's fake, like, he ain't really blind, he's just been faking it.
I've never heard that. Is that, like, a legit urban myth? Like, yes. Do you really think that?
That's a legit thing, yeah. Plenty of people that say Stevie Wonder is not blind, like, he is faking and getting sympathy. And like, oh, you see him reflex, a cup almost dropped and he grabbed it. I know he ain't Daredevil. It's like, so, yeah, it'd be little anecdotes that's made up or semi-truthful, and they just run with it because people are fucking idiots.
Oh, poor Steve. Doesn't that kind of belittle their talent as well? I mean, I understand, like, the talent is already elevated because of whatever disability, whatever you want to call it. So when, like, a blind guy can suddenly play the piano, everyone's like, oh, my God. It's like, well, he has ears. I mean, I can type without looking at a keyboard. That doesn't make me a superhero, you know?
It's because the average person can't even balance a checkbook. Yeah. So when they see somebody do something above average, it's like, oh, it must be magic. It can't be hard work.
It's just, yeah. I'm sorry. Everyone, for those who don't know, a checkbook is what we used to use before the internet. So,
and what old people still use when they need to buy their groceries at the grocery store, and you're wondering why they hold the line for 10 minutes. Hey, let people make fun of granny. Grannies are still voting, so that's why they got the checkbooks.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of stuff they shouldn't be doing then: writing checks in line and voting.
Mm-hmm. Like, who's voting? It's granny. Yeah.
I had to write a check. This is almost like old man talk, but I had to write a check. I had to write 3 checks because I kept screwing it up. I could not remember how to do it. And Elise goes, we're going to run out of those. We've had the same checks, I think, for 10 years now. That's how little we have to do it. But I repeatedly kept messing it up. And she goes, do you want me to write it? And you know, like, whenever you're doing something wrong, you know you're not doing it right. And someone goes, here, let me do it. Knowing they could, even though you know they're going to do it, you're like, no, absolutely not. I'm going to nail this, in this case, very simple exercise, or I'm going to feel just worthless for a day. But to get to what we were talking about, which has been kind of all over, I am, fingers crossed, I will be in NOLA tomorrow as well. And did you watch NXT this week?
I'm going tonight. I have not yet. Okay. I've heard about it. I haven't seen it, though.
I told Kevin, I mean, I was already looking forward to NXT because the feuds on there have been really good. Mm-hmm. And even like the matches are just kind of thrown together, the ending of it, and it was just your basic people in the ring, but it just set the stage because did you read the spoilers, like what happens?
Yeah, like okay. I know they said the North American title match, ladder match, yeah.
So everybody's in the ring at the end, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute, someone's missing. And then all of a sudden, Ricochet's music plays. I'm not that familiar with him. So, I know what he looks like. I've seen some matches, but, you know, not...
I mean, if you watch Lucha Underground, then...
Yeah, duh. Forgot about that.
you've seen enough of his matches to realize he's special.
Dude, I'm just ready to go already. I shut my computer off early at work, and do you know how happy I was?
But
I actually told Elise when I got home, I think this job is killing me.
Boy, then you're a real American then.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I fight rights. Well, no, I don't. But I have been known to throw a word or two around. Okay, so since they won't listen to this anyways, I've been growing my beard out. I cut my hair on for the day. I didn't plant this through. I so wanted to dress up as Hulk Hogan just to go and screw with Cam.
You're going to get jumped.
My God, oh my God, I would be laughing my ass off.
You're going to go like Hulk Hogan, they're just going to call you the Big Show.
They'd be like, what the hell happened to Hulk Hogan? Well, if my daughter would marry one of those 8-foot ones, I wouldn't have gone to drink.
Good Lord have mercy.
To NXT, yeah. No, he came in and did like his flip into the ring and did the pose. All six guys were in the ring, and I just looked at that going, I don't care who wins. Like, in a good way. Like, I'm cool with any of these guys winning.
Like I've always said, and NXT kind of just reinforced it, we are so spoiled. Yep. Just look at the people that were in their ring. Like, think about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And then just think about, they basically have, what, one of ROH's best, one of TNA's best, one of the Indies' best, and then three of their, like, best homegrown people in a match where any of them win. And it's just, like, a different mix of, like, different styles, different looks, different body types. And that's not even the main event. That's just, like, a match.
Yeah, that's just one that basically is just thrown together to get people on TV or on this card.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you know what's funny? WrestleMania, like, from top to bottom match-wise, is probably potentially the best they've had since, like, ring-wise, probably ever. Like, it's not one, like, the worst match, like, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax.
Yeah, that's what Kevin and I voted. Yeah. Possibly worst match.
And the Battle Royals, which are the Battle Royals, like, every other single match will be at least above average to, like, great. Like, mm-hmm. Every single one. It's like, what, 11 matches, 12 matches?
13, I think.
Yeah, 13. Well, and yeah.
12 officially.
Yeah, but, like, 13 with, you know, old man Cena finally getting his wish. But, no, having said all that, I wouldn't be surprised if TakeOver's better. Just because, one, it's shorter, and then, two, TakeOver, when they had the big ones, it's like, they'll have 4 or 5 matches, and all of them would be, like, great. And this one looks like it can, like, just, you got the ladder match, you have Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler, Gargano and Ciampa finally, and the title, did I, and like the tag match and the title match.
Yeah.
Like, that's top to bottom, just a stacked ass card in front of, like, you know, rabid ass fans. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, like, I'll be watching it on the, on my tablet.
Oh yeah, you're not going to that, are you?
Yeah, that's because I don't want to leave my, I want to go and my wife stay home, and NXT's not, that's not her type of crowd, so I wouldn't try to have her sit around with those heads. Not you guys. You guys are cool ones.
No, but the, no, that's fair. I know what you mean.
Yeah, so, but I was tempted to go, especially even without seeing the card, but especially seeing how the card now, because it's like, theirs is simple. They have great match. They have simple, effective storylines that build up the great matches, and yeah, that's what TakeOver, that's what TakeOver is.
They had the, there's a video package for Gargano and Ciampa. Dude, I was almost in tears. I'm like, Johnny's got it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, maybe I'm getting soft, or I don't know what it is, but I'm watching that going, he's got to beat his ass. Like, I mean, they were pulling up, like, the wedding photos of, like, old leagues they were in together, like Prime Wrestling, all that stuff. They were bringing up all that stuff. And then they had that where, like, they showed the turn. But then at the same time, Ciampa's making a good point, and I was like, ooh, can't wait for this to go.
Yeah.
And then they go, like, Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler, eh, okay.
I mean, it's the it's funny where, like, the match, it's funny with that dynamic, because kind of, like, people really not into Ember Moon, and it's not her fault. It's because it's kind of like she won the title after people better than her left. People respect Shayna Baszler, but she don't, Shayna Baszler don't get cheered. Like, Shayna Baszler's like a heel that people can't stand, because she's just a goddamn bully. Like, she's what Baron Corbin should be. And they do a good job of letting her beat up, like, 90-pound women and trying to break their arms and legs and choke them out during, like, a backstage taping. So, like, it's funny where it'll be a great match, but it's like, you know, it's not a lot of heat. Just because it's like Ember Moon, even though she hasn't really done anything wrong, and that last they had was, I liked the hell, like, she sold the hell up. I almost thought she really broke her arm the way she was selling it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of threw it off as like, you know, this match seems kind of slow. It's just, it wasn't what they were expecting, so it kind of threw them off. I think now people said less match, so they kind of know what's going in and probably have good feeling for it. I wonder how the crowd will be, because sometimes NXT crowds tend to be like renegades, and like, we gonna do what we want to do regardless. But they tend to be like, they cheer the heels that are dastardly heels. They boo the heels. That's what we dastardly heels. They'll cheer the cool heels. Like, Velveteen Dream is a heel. They'll cheer him. They boo Shayna Baszler.
And I think because she doesn't put off a cool vibe to it all. Just like you said, and she may be the nicest person in real life. You know, I've only seen her in interviews that she's done in character, because she is so just unpleasant, and just, she always scowls. Just, I know you're not supposed to tell a woman to smile, but it's like, goddamn, can you try it once in a while? And I mean, it's effective. So, I mean, good on her. If that's what she's supposed to be going for, just hope not really like that, because that would suck. Trying to think, what else is on this? The tag match, that should be pretty good. Just, boy, they figured out a way to get Pete Dunne on a pay-per-view, though. Which is good, because that guy's great.
Yes, he is.
And it's too bad Tyler Bates hurt, supposedly. But
yeah, that doesn't seem, yeah.
He'll probably be in a dark match, though.
I don't know if it's like Access or not, because I know Access is, they having a bunch of matches, like they having like different tournaments to like, they having matches all weekend, and they having like people from like Progress and other indies on there too. Got that match. Of course, we talked about the ladder match, and then the title match. Where it's funny where a lot of people want Almas to keep the belt.
Yeah.
Because he's just so, him and Vega, they're so great as heels. And that's hilarious, because you kind of knew it was leading to this, and everybody like, okay, Aleister Black's going to win. He should win. It's like, it's his turn. But Almas is just so damn good. Like, he's really good. And he doesn't go out of his way to be likable. He's almost like Edge, but it's like, it's entertaining. Like, I don't want to, it's funny where I don't want to necessarily see him lose.
If he loses, if he loses and he goes on the main roster, then cool, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a weird one because both guys, I think, are ready to go up.
Mm.
But I'm trying to think, like, where are they going to go?
I'm going to be on SmackDown. Like, if he loses Saturday, he on SmackDown, like, Tuesday. Because it's kind of like, you kind of hear, like, you know, writing on the wall that he's going to be up there soon. Him and her, they fit perfect on SmackDown because small guys kind of thrive. They don't have to worry about, like, big monsters and stuff. Yeah, so, and, like, Aleister Black's a funny one where it's like he's a fan favorite. People like him. Wrestles like he's really hurting people. Like, I like his style where it looks like it's a real fight. And if he was wrestling anybody else, it'd be like, yeah, let him win. It's his time. Almost is great, though. It's kind of, it's almost like that Okada thing where people want to, like, you know, why Okada's had the belt all this time. It's like, because he's good. And he's continued to be good. And, he's making New Japan money. He keeps having great matches. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, the person that beat him will be a big deal. But until then, it's like, if it ain't time to... It's funny where people... It's almost people getting sick of him. It is not really his fault. It's kind of like they just want their favorite to win. Like, you know, it's this guy's time to shine. And it's almost that same way, kind of like NXT's always been like that with the world title, where, you know, a guy gets it and holds it and the guy's ready, and then they beat him, and then that previous guy goes to the main roster. And then it was kind of like Drew McIntyre was the guy, then he got hurt. Almas got it out of nowhere, because it was like he went from he might leave and go back to Mexico to like being the best thing on NXT. And it didn't even take that long for that to happen.
Oh, I mean, when he beat Drew, I almost said Galloway, when he beat McIntyre, I was shocked. And, I mean, it worked out because Galloway, god damn it, because McIntyre was hurt. Hey, they haven't called Black Lightning Black Panther yet. And so it's, that was surprising, but it's funny how it worked out, but it was still strange that he was supposed to win anyways. Like, I know the rumor was that they called an audible and this and that, but no, that was just straight pants. Like, so was McIntyre supposed to be on the main roster now? Where was he supposed to be?
Either have a rematch and get the title back. It's like, once he got his wings under him, yeah, like, it was always weird for him. It's different with him, because it wasn't like a whole thing, I'm coming from TNA, I'm coming from the Indies. He was in WWE already. He was, like, had titles in WWE, so I never thought he's gonna be in NXT that long to begin with. It's just long enough for people to, like, you know, remember you and get the character over, and then, like, once there, put him on the main roster. Like, when the people tend to be ready, they don't stay in NXT like that long. And the only thing that's kind of like reason why he's been there that long is like his injury. But I don't expect him to be on the NXT that much longer, because it's like, what do you do with him?
Yeah.
He's too big for, like, the North American title. You can have him wrestle for the NXT title if you want, but you don't wrestle. You don't necessarily. It seems like it's a waste with him.
Yeah, it's NXT's got a weird identity now because it's supposed to be the developmental stuff, right? But they keep bringing in guys who really don't need developing, and those guys are going straight to TV in that. Why would you waste people?
Yeah, though? I think it's kind of like they have different ways. Like, they have the new people they develop and, like, teach to wrestle, and then they have people from other styles. Like, we just need to show you, we just need to show WWE what you can do, and kind of, like, tweak you a little bit, and have the people need, when you go on the main roster, you thrive. Like, they kind of learned their lesson, like, just because somebody's a big name somewhere else doesn't necessarily mean they'll thrive. Like, the whole thing of Mystico. Like, yes. When first came, because it's kind of like, had Dave done it all over again, he'd been better served being, like, in NXT for, like, 6 months to a year, you know, hone his style, anything like that, treating like a big deal, and then from the main roster. Instead of just throwing him in the fire, just basically have him drown.
Yeah, and then hurt his hand or something, and then they just basically crapped on him right then, or shoulder or something, whatever he hurt in that pay-per-view match, and they just crapped on him big time right after that. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's funny. I can't pick who's going to win these matches. I don't think Authors of Pain are going to win. I think they're gone after this. They are monsters compared to the rest of the division.
The Monsters pay almost everybody in WWE besides like Anderson and Gallows and maybe The Bar. Like, they are it's not just they're just NXT big, they're big.
Yes.
Like, they're not necessarily like tall, but they are like wide people. Well, I mean,
have you seen them in person? They're huge.
Yeah, because I think the few times I went to NXT, they weren't a tag team yet, so they weren't there. Even so, by looking at them, like, compared to people I have seen and know, there's like people like, you know, it's funny with wrestling, you don't get a general idea how big they are on TV. Like, you know, they're big, but it's different when you see them. Like, when you see Mark Henry, it's like, yeah, you see him in person, he's built like a dinosaur.
Big Show's another one.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Like, just being at that height and it's not like tall and skinny. I'm just tall and big. Like, yeah.
Well, I saw him once in Greenville. He was just walking by to the ring, and we were on the floor. And you know how bad those floor seats are at the far back? You can't see anything. Well, you could definitely see him from like mid chest up. That's how big he was. And then I was in a front row when they brought back ECW, and he was there. So of course everyone's like, you know, give him the "you can't wrestle" chant, which to this day cracked me up. It was the first time I'd heard someone do this. They're like, "you can't wrestle," and he stops and tells everyone to quiet down. He goes, "I don't have to," and the whole crowd started cheering him. And I was like, "you babies!" Like, just because he says a good line, now you're gonna let him off the hook?
That's all it takes.
Ugh. But and he just proceeded to beat the hell out of somebody. I think it was Mike Knock. It's a weird way, and then lost.
He resigned, actually, Big Show.
Okay, I saw that, but it's. I'm not saying it's like, well, it's not one of the reputable sites, but it was always like it was some goofy site that said it, and I'm like, but he was in an interview, right? On a radio.
I listened. I heard it from the Observer. They was talking about it. Yeah, and it's kind of like if he's Braun Strowman's partner, I wouldn't be surprised, to put it away. And let's kind of leave it at that. Because it's kind of like, Braun needs a partner. It fits. But that's like, they should never lose.
Right. It's like, what do you do after that?
Yeah, like, Big Show's going to be Ricky Morton. He's going to rush my egg. Like, he's going to be the face in peril to get the hot tag to Braun Strowman. Like, no, but... Yeah,
I know some people are craving for Neville to be his partner, which I know it sounds stupid, it doesn't make any sense, but it kind of works. I mean, with Neville's ugly ass beard and all that other stuff. I mean, I don't know if he still has it, because he hasn't even been seen since he left.
He hasn't been. They don't even talk about Joe, so I'm wondering if he's still hurt. I figured he'd been back by now, but it's like you haven't really heard any talking about him. Yeah. But it's like one of those things. It's kind of like we'll know when they play the music and people that make sure they're like, oh, this guy.
Well, Big Cat is clear.
Yeah, that's nice. like good for him. Yeah. But no, I'm looking forward to NXT and all the things that's going on. I'm definitely looking forward to WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame. I'm looking forward to some of it. That class is just still weird. The Ivory, the Dudley boys.
Dudley, that was the other one.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett, Goldberg, Mark Henry, and Kid Rock.
I actually understand Kid Rock.
That got to be Undertaker related, because that's the only thing that makes sense. Because otherwise, why? Like, why?
He's done a lot for them, though.
Yeah, but why this year of all years? You can have him anytime. He's not Dino Thompson. Like, you know, if he was, he would have by now. So,
well, unless they don't have any, they didn't have any like other celebrity guests to use.
You could.
I don't know.
Maria
Menounos might have been booked.
They could have did a Aretha Franklin if they wanted. So,
could you imagine that?
I can imagine more than. I mean, come on, Kid Rock.
No, I know. It's just
like the only thing. If it only makes sense if Undertaker's going to show up on his motorcycle in a chain, ready to like lynch Cena, and Kid Rock is playing his music. Otherwise, it's like, why is he there?
Well, besides, Kevin and I were doing our shows, doing the preview shows, and I said I didn't think Undertaker and John Cena are actually going to have a match, And my scenario was, you know, Cena is for whatever they want to do, they're going to have Cena sitting there at ringside, and I would love for Undertaker to just show up, beat the hell out of John Cena, and then leave. That's it.
They'll have a match, because it's kind of like you can't have them there and not have a match. Like, an encounter, they got to have a rematch on SmackDown. Like, no. Because Undertaker's kind of, I read that article in The Ringer, like, about the Undertaker and his career, and it's an interesting read, because you realize, like, you know, one, how long he's been around, two, like, how his ideas kind of, like, he's always kind of kept things close, because it's like, you know, I'm playing this role, I'm old school, I owe it to the fans, so I'm not this whole, not like, no, super kayfabe all the time, but, like, when I'm not wrestling, I'm not necessarily breaking character either. It's like, you know, I'm minding my business, you mind yours, and we be cool. So it's still just weird, because it's kind of like the people on Twitter, like, oh, I want to see The Undertaker and John Cena. People paying money want to see, like I told Cam, the dude that's flying in from Finland with his kids that's dropping $10,000 want to see Undertaker and John Cena. Some jackass on Twitter that's bootlegging a network off some Hotmail, you know, address from their friend, they don't care. But they're not like, why would WWE listen to, like, the dude that's not spending any money? They listen to people that spend money. It's a reason why Roman Reigns gets pushed, and it's not because he's cute.
Well, no, but he's not Vince's boy. That's Brock.
Uh huh. It's a reason Brock kept getting the money. You're like, why do they keep paying Brock all that money? For a reason, because he makes the money. Like, you know, Vince McMahon does stupid thing, but he's not an idiot. He's just stubborn, and it's a difference. So it's always this whole thing, like, especially it sinks in WrestleMania. People assume stuff that they like is stuff that everybody likes. It's like, no, it's different type of things. Like, you know, people like what they like. Like, some little kids say, my favorite wrestler is Kane. And you're like, well, how does that make sense? It don't gotta make sense. They like Kane because like Kane. Kane looks cool. He shoots fire. That's all they need. Why they don't care about a drop toe hole? That's old people care about that stuff.
Well, I told you when, the one Christmas when I found out my nephews were watching wrestling. And I said, what figures do they have? This and this. And that's my brother. And he goes, well, they got these, and they got the Lucha Dragons. And I just went, huh? And then I went, no, that makes total sense. They're colorful. They got the little chants. They jump all over the place. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. So that's when I bought them all those toys last year. Tried to make sure and get the colorful ones, which there aren't a lot of colorful guys.
Yeah, it's not a lot of colorful t-shirts. Most of them are like black with some ugly ass print, which is why I like the ones that aren't. Like, it's the reason why the New Day t-shirts sell so well. Cause like, wow, something that's not black. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different color. Like, you know, even though it's goofy looking, it's bright. People like, I'm sick of like these black shirts with these big garish logos. It's like, I only can wear this at the gym or watching wrestling. I can't wear Triple H with his head on a crown on a horse with a flaming sledgehammer with some Latin words. Like, they don't think I'm in a gang. Like, that spell is that. Like, no. Like, it's not as cool. It's wrestling cool is normally not normal cool. Like, Bullet Club is the exception.
Okay, so that's where I'm glad you said that, because that's where I was going next. I don't know if you watched Being the Elite, you know, on their YouTube station and that. Cody Rhodes came up with a new Bullet Club logo. They're retiring the old one, right? So, of course, the Young Bucks, in the context of the show, were like, no, we're not. Well, the story goes that New Japan just printed them up anyways, but didn't put the Bullet Club, you know, insignia or, you know, whatever along with it. So it's official, but unofficial still. Have you seen it?
I've seen the logo.
It's terrible.
Yes.
But I think it's so bad that people will buy it just to be like, look at how bad this shirt is, or just to be in on the joke, which, smart business on their part, man.
Ironically. Yeah, like, people buy it ironically.
I mean, a skull with blonde hair and two, I don't know if they were joints or cigarettes for the crossbones. I was like, oh my god, what? Like, who even thought of that? Like, what little goofy, like, goofy mind person was like, yeah, this will work. Ugh. I got an imagination, but I guess not for the poor. Like, not for the bad, I guess, but anyways. But yeah, I'm looking forward to going tomorrow, so fingers crossed nothing goes on flight. Like, it did last time we tried going to NOLA. We were supposed to be there at 3 in the afternoon. We got there at 11 at night, their time, Central time.
Oh, that's nice.
We still went out. I was like, we got to the hotel, and Kevin and his girl were already asleep. And I was like, no, absolutely not. We didn't come all the way to New Orleans to go to bed at 11 o'clock. So
yeah. Speaking of that and going to bed, something like, normally we complain when we do the show, like stuff happens after we do the show. Did you see the stuff with Conor McGregor?
No, I heard about it. I have not seen it. Is this one of his pranks? Not pranks, no. But one of his publicity stunts?
No, this was not no damn... you know those guardrails that people use? Him throwing at a damn bus don't seem like a prank. You haven't seen that gif yet, have you?
No, when I got home, I went straight to the gym, and I was working like crazy today to make sure all my stuff was on before I left. No.
Let me see this way. There's a warrant out for him.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, that's how serious it is. Like, apparently something happened with him, and I'm not going to try Khabib. I can't even pronounce his last name. They had issues before, so they tried to rush the bus, and it was, like, some fracas with him and somebody from his team. Some fighters got – I think one fighter got injured. He may not be able to have his fight this weekend. Another woman, she almost got hit, and they think she might drop out, but she decides she's going to fight anyway. Like, he did all this stuff, people got hurt, and then he ran.
What the fuck? Really?
Yes. They make sure his plane does not leave New York. They got an arrest warrant out for him. This is, people talking about, it's like WWE.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's when the cops come on WWE, they ain't real cops. Like, Stone Cold not really blowing up buses. That's just for the show. Like, if he did that in real life, yeah, the U.S. Marshals would really be there, and he'd be in jail. Like, when people say, we called the cops for him, they not really in jail. It's the storyline, so... Anyway, okay.
Right. I've got the sound. I don't know if you can hear it or not. I'm watching it now.
No.
Yeah.
No! Open the fucking door, you fucking bitch!
What the hell is he doing?
Open the fucking door!
So this is from inside the... Is this from inside the bus or whatever?
Fuck you!
Yeah, I saw him before he got on the bus. I saw that, like, the little...
This is like guys filming it from the bus, like, to the outside.
Yeah.
Hey, open the fucking glass! Hey,
yeah, I have... I'll be honest, I've never been a fan of Conor McGregor. Like, him and his shtick, and we've talked about it on the show before. And it's like stuff like this. It's just kind of like, he a real man, he a rebel, he a wild card, and yada yada yada. I'm like, he's boom.
Yeah, like, it was funny, without even seeing this, I was telling Elise, she asked me about it, and I was like, okay, look, I know this is like him being a shit talker or whatever else. This is how he does this stuff, but this...
That's why.
I would just say this. Imagine it's not him. Imagine you're watching that and hear the story about that and say it's Floyd Mayweather. That's just Floyd. People want to say it's just Floyd trying to rev up stuff for the fight. It's like, no, they call him every damn word in the book. And, like, Floyd's a despicable human being himself. But it's just different with the whole... white guy, bad boys get this whole, he's sexy, he do his own thing, he came from nothing. It's like, that's cool. Like, you could be, imagine, like, you watching Rocky and Rocky was a bigot. Would Rocky be fun?
I'm gonna disagree with you.
Rocky came from, rough roots, and he's trying to make it, but it's like, I'm gonna beat that push monkey Apollo on the 15th at the Spectrum. It'd be hard to root for Rocky if Rocky was like a racist. And it's like Conor McGregor. I remember we talking about this stuff. Like, Conor McGregor says, like, it sounds funny until you realize he ain't joking. It's like, no, he's a dirtball. It's just he's successful, and people like those rag to riches stories. Like, he just does his own thing. It's like, no, it's a way of doing your own thing without committing felonies.
Well, see. I don't mind the shit talking, whatever, because at first it was entertaining, but this bullshit, that's going to cost you fans. And apparently you're going to cost him his light heavyweight title, because I already said they're stripping him of it.
Yeah, they're going to strip him anyway and defend the belt.
Well, I mean,
it's like you can't. It's kind of like, this ain't WWE where, like, I make 3 movies and I get to keep the belt. It's like, he has, what, 2 years? What do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Oh, yeah, so here's the outside angle. I mean, just, what are you doing?
Being a goon. That's what he's doing.
I mean, that's drug addict behavior, right?
No, that's I can do what I want, and I've never gotten in trouble. That's what that behavior is. People say, oh, maybe it's drugs. Like, no, you don't got to be Johnny Manziel to do that stuff. He's just like, no one tells him no. And he's gotten where he's gotten, saying, you know, doing what he wants to do, and nobody telling him no. It's like, well, if I do this, I can do more. And if I do more, I can keep on going and keep on going. And that's where we end up to. Like, you know, Dana White can be on his high horse, like, this despicable, anything like that. It's like, yeah, y'all made that. Y'all hyped up that monster. It's like Frankenstein. You can't make a monster and then be surprised when the monster acts like a monster.
It's so funny you said that, because that's exactly what I was going to say. It was, you know, well, Dr. Frankenstein probably didn't think this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts, dude. I mean, that fucking jerk off. Yeah, it's like, that's enough. And he better hope he's got a bunch of money. He substantially saved a bunch of money.
I mean, he probably made a lot from that Mayweather fight, and I hope so, because
someone said it was like $45 million, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny how that goes, because you hear people make a lot of money and then they still need money, like, because mm-hmm. Floyd's having tax issues, Drew Brees doing that. Drew Brees is just batshit crazy.
So he got built on an $8 million ring.
No, he made the mistake of thinking buying jewelry is like buying stock. Like, oh, it was valued at this. I'm thinking if I bought it for $8 million 5 years ago, it should be worth $16 million now. I'm like, that's not how jewelry worked, dumbass.
Yeah. But everyone knows that.
Yeah, it's like, you hear, and it's like, you don't pay attention to Drew Brees. Drew is a moron. He does, like, a lot of stupid, like, Herbalife pyramid scheme
Isn't
type
the
stuff.
Advocare stuff?
Yeah, like, he does that stupid stuff. It's kind of like, take your money, put in something slow in a bank, like, you know, 2% interest, and you don't got to do nothing. It's like, nah, I want to be a gazillionaire, so I buy a whole bunch of barbershops.
Well, like, he's also part of, what, Home Team? Like, some food places that are supposed to be, like, Buffalo Wild Wings or something?
Yeah, he's a numbskull, is what he is. And it's funny, the joke was like, well, you know, he's getting mad because of cash flow issues. How you make all that money got cash flow issues? Like, it's funny how the story is, like, going on, because it's like, oh, well, you know, Drew, he got led wrong and everything like that. Like, imagine if it was Cam Newton. I spent $8 million on jewelry, and I'm doing. Like, just think about that. He bought an $8 million ring. Why does Drew Brees need an $8 million ring?
Wasn't it for his wife? I think it was for his wife. Now, that does not make it better, by the way.
Yeah, so. I hope. It's like, why? You know who spends $8 million on jewelry? Billionaires. Which Drew Brees is not. Drew Brees, because millionaires who spend a lot of money on jewelry do not stay millionaires for long. And it's just like, you see that knucklehead stuff that goes on. And, you know, Floyd Mayweather, all that. I got to have a fight because I got to pay the tax man. It's like, how you make $175 million and you still owe income tax?
Well, here's the thing also is, does no one have ESPN or Netflix, all these guys? And just watch that documentary for 30. I can't remember the exact name of it, but
Broke.
All of, is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah.
All of these athletes, that it still goes on.
Like, most people, you know, it's the same thing with everybody else. It's not that most people don't have money management skills, even rich people, because it's kind of like, as a Mets fan, how they feel about their owners. Their owners got built out of money, and they're supposed to be smart. It's like, you know, most people are not smart with money because they never learn to be smart with money. So when you got a little bit of money, it's called buying a car with 40% interest. When you got a lot of money, it's called buying 2 islands and trying to buy a dragon egg, like Nicolas Cage. So, yeah, it's kind of like the only thing that changes is scale. So, Connor, Drew Brees, all of them. Just, oh, But you know how I like segues? Speaking of dickheads who just make stupid decisions. You remember that stuff with when Fate of Furious came out and all that noise? You know, all that noise with Vin Diesel? And it's kind of like, at first we thought like maybe they're just doing it for, you know, publicity for the movie and yada, yada, yada. And then we noticed it's kind of like they did one press thing together when they dropped the trailer. You didn't see them in any stuff together. And then the movie came out and they're barely in the same, scenes the whole movie. And then you hear the stuff where he's doing the spinoff. You hear all the stuff Tyrese said. You hear the stuff. You hear The Rock. Like, you hear everybody else talk. And one thing about The Rock is he rarely, like, you know, talks like, he keeps in-house business in-house. And when he talks about stuff, he does like in a vague way where it's like, you know, he won't rock the boat. He kind of get his point across without like trying. Not this time. Like, yeah. How much of a dick you gotta be for The Rock to call you out publicly on record?
And even in a Rock fashion, because he didn't like come out and say like the hell with this guy or anything, but he sure came out and said the hell with this guy. I mean, it's remarkable to me. That's why it was funny. We just got done like chatting or whatever, and I went over to look, and that was the first thing I saw. And man, I know he went. What he said, it was creative. We had creative differences on how we do certain things. And you know, I wish him the best. And there's no ill will, but I wish him the best. And then, well, I wish him the best. For The Rock to do that, that's basically like saying go fuck yourself, which is so strange. Now the thing is, and I wonder why he did that. I mean, I know Rampage is coming out, so we're doing a bunch of stuff.
They probably asked him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, and
he's probably tired of like, you know what? You know what it probably was? He's trying to like take the high road, and like that stuff with Tyrese, like just dragging his name in dirt, and everybody laughing, like, you know, yeah, it's Tyrese and stuff like that. But Vin didn't help, and nobody else kind of helped. And it's like, I think The Rock got the point where, you know, I don't need y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to deal with this. And it's like, that's the funny thing is, Vin Diesel's successful anyway. He's got other stuff going on, but he doesn't seem like he's the type where either he has to be the number one. It's like the same thing about Tom Cruise. Either I got to be the number one guy, or I got to be some like, I'll be in an ensemble cast if there's no real number one guy. Like, Vin Diesel show up in somebody else's movie. Like, when it's kind of like that whole, what, Billy Lynn halftime walk. Because there's no one big main star. So he can be like a side character. Or like Guardians of the Galaxy, where, you know, it's just a whole bunch of people. So I can just go ahead and play my role. But he's not the type to kind of like, I'm going to share the spotlight. And I think all that stuff with The Rock kind of like rankled him. Even though that Fast and Furious series kind of blew up with Fast Five. And one of the main reasons was The Rock. And The Rock's at the point where it's like, you know, I can do my stuff with Jason Statham to make money. I got all these other movies coming out and I can make money. It's like, you know, maybe I'll do the next one. Maybe I won't. Like, if I'm The Rock, I'm like, my schedule's already busy as it is. Why am I going to deal with this asshole? Like, for what? You know, and it's not like he's, and most of his friends, like most people in that cast, not necessarily his friends. It's kind of like, you know, they're going to take Vin Diesel's side. So it's like, well, I'm going to deal with all this for. The hell with y'all.
I can't really blame. I mean, I don't know. They always talk about the Fast and Furious family and family. It's like, okay, we get it. But it sure seems to be that, like, that's the case. You know, like, I guarantee you, you're correct, that they were all aside. But it was funny when they had that beef that he was talking about the male co-stars. And he went out of his way to say the females have been bringing it, or, you know, whatever language Rock chooses. So, you know, it's,
and look who the guys are. I wasn't talking about Scott Eastwood or Kurt Russell. It was probably Vin, Ludacris, and Tyrese.
Well, see, Ludacris is kind of smart in this. He hasn't said a damn thing either.
He hasn't. He said the least. A little thing here. He hasn't really said that much. He dropped a little thing in it. It's basically been Tyrese and Vin Diesel, which is funny considering Too Fast, Too Furious, like, Tyrese was more like, him and Paul Walker were like friends. I never got the impression like him and Vin Diesel was kind of like buddy, but like that, because one, the first movie they did was because Vin left, and then like how the movies play out, he doesn't have that many scenes with Tyrese anyway. Like, it's always been a Tyrese. You know what? It's funny, and we talked about before, Paul Walker not being there kind of like probably add a lot to that, because he probably seemed like the type to kind of like smooth stuff out. And it's like, you know, we all cool. It's a whole big family thing. It's because you didn't hear any of this stuff before. And like, you didn't hear it in Fast 5. You didn't hear it in Fast 6. He wasn't in Fast 7 that much because of scheduling issues, but you didn't hear any issues with that. But all of a sudden, it's like, you know, this is the first one where Paul Walker's not in there. And then all of a sudden you hear all this noise and all this mess. Like, you know, it can't be coincidence. Because you'd have figured, you know, if you had issues, you would have heard about now. Not this whole, you know, well, you know, we did three movies together, but the fourth one was, you know, the fifth one was the one that broke the camel's back, or the fourth one, the one, the straw that broke the camel's back. It's just, and like, Vin Diesel, this funny thing where he's very talented. He has supreme confidence in himself, but he just comes off like a dickhead, like sometimes. Even though it's like, he's like this big nerd, and him having supreme confidence in himself works. It's just something about him. He's just, if Steven Seagal was more talented, he'd be Vin Diesel. Basically, like that person, like, I'm cult of personality, like, I'm, this is my show, and I'm gonna make, you know, wishes to reality, and I'm just gonna drag thing in it. Cause then think about all that stuff, like the interviews with him and women, like that creepy stuff he does.
Yeah.
Self was like, oh, why are you so beautiful? You're just so gorgeous. I can't help look at you. Let me smell your hair. And it's like, we're here to talk about the movie. You got a woman that gave birth to your child. Why are you like, oh, can I just take you out to dinner? Like, this is on camera. Oh, can I take you out to eat? I just can't help myself. Ooh, you're just so gorgeous. I could gobble you up. Like, beat it, creepo.
Well, I remember, was it Rolling Stone? It was during like his down period, and of course, you know, it's just like we do with everybody in this country. When someone's down, you got to make sure to kick them a little bit. But like, you know, he had just appeared in what, Riddick? Was that the bomb one where it was like just him and it was that like Jane Duty? Was it Dane?
Oh, Dane, yeah,
that one that bombed bad.
Like, yeah.
So, you know, things going that great for him, and they were doing this like this expose and stuff. And so you got to take it with a grain of salt with this one, like how true it is. But they were talking about how he would just walk around. He'd like go to clubs, and I may be wrong, mind you, but he would go to clubs and just like walk in. The guy's like, "Hey," and he's like, "Hey," like just not even say anything. Like the guy's just looking. I'm like, "What are you doing?" And then he'd just give him the nod, like, "You know who I am," and they're like, "Sir," you know, whatever else. And then he'd tell him who he is. And they're like, oh, okay. It was just the weirdest thing. But like, going back to that interview thing, you know why he's doing that, because he's like, this chick hasn't said she wants to fuck me yet? Like, what's going on here? I'm Vin Diesel. You know, I was Fast and Furious.
You gotta say right. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
You didn't see Pitch Black, I'm Vin Diesel.
Ugh, I keep forgetting about Pitch Black or the Boiler Room? Was that? Yeah, Boiler Room, right? With him and Ben Affleck?
You like me an Iron Giant? I've been Diesel. I go one mouth at a time. La Familia. Give my Corona. Familia. Family. I'm just trying to be. I'm going to be Genghis Khan. I'm Vin Diesel. You're not letting me in? Triple X. You ever see somebody snowboard on a trash can? No. You like my fur coat? I'm Vin Diesel. Like, no. Just... like, I like his movie, and it's funny, we're both fans of his movies,
yes.
But he's just come off like a meathead sometimes, and it's like, you're picking fights with The Rock, how do you think that's going to look?
Yeah, and also, like, I will never forget, because now, like, remembering that stuff, the whole have sex with a lady, leave her a skateboard, kind of makes sense now. You know, he's like, this is going to be so romantic. Mm-hmm. That I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna bang around.
You see a big, like, what was it, a sand dune, a salt mine is blowing up or something like that.
That was a salt truck pouring salt into a, or it was the salt processing pouring out into a truck.
So seductive. I swear, he just got away with the ladies. Like, ugh.
Just with those big and having said that,
I'm still looking forward to Family comes out, but it's probably going to look a lot different because he said, you know, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. And it's like, if him and Statham's doing their whole thing separate, then fine. Let them do their things that way, and let Vin do his thing without people hurting his feelings and his alpha manhood, and yada, yada, yada. Like, good.
Yeah. I don't know. That series will be fine without him, so... You know.
I mean, I don't know, because it's kind of like you would think it would be. I think Justin Lin coming back would make it there, but it's kind of like he was a big part of like it being super successful, and it's like, you know, you got him, he's not there, and Statham's not there, and Paul Walker's not there, and then, you know, you can get back all day long. It's like, oh, where's my husband? He's watching the kids. Like how that's gonna work? You bring him back, Jordana Brewster, people gonna ask, oh, where's Brian? Oh, you know, Brian's playing golf. Like, I'm, of course, we're still going to watch it, and it should be fine, but, you know, it's like, it's dealing with a lot of noise that it shouldn't be dealing with.
If for a movie that hasn't been written, or even started production, for that matter. Mm-mm. So, it's bad because they seemingly have hit the formula correct. And it's like that with anything, though. And I've been yelling, like, to go to the wrestling. I've been yelling, like, you know, I understand everyone wants to make money. Everyone wants to be, like, the top guy, this and this. But it's like, you know, if you dopes just all work together, damn how rich all of you guys would be.
It never works that way.
I know that's not how life works, period. Yeah,
because, like, it takes a lot of inner strength to have the mindset of a Scottie Pippen and, like, willingly embrace me and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Like,
his bank account shows it, too.
Yeah, but the person's like, you know, why can't I be the star? It's like, he's the star. I'm as good as him. Why can't... Look at all the teams where that happens. Like, you know, you really, like, the most successful teams is like, you know, it's one player that's just better, and everyone else kind of, like, accept it. Compared to, like, the teams where it's like, you know, basketball, look what happened to the Lakers, Shaq and Kobe. They both wanted to be the man. They could have worked together, won 6 rings. But it's like, you know, they won 3, and people look at it as a disappointment. Go Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. Like, it just, two tigers can't hunt in the same mountain, as they say. And whenever that happens, it's like, it just creates conflict. And it's like saying, it's hard to be like, you know, everybody want to be Arn Anderson. Everybody want to be Ric Flair. And nothing wrong with being Arn Anderson. Like, and Arn Anderson was great, but people want to embrace that. How many grow up say, you know what, I want to be a sidekick. I'm be the best sidekick ever. Like, it's, people remember Robin. Like, it worked. Like, if you're a great sidekick, you can make it. Nobody care about, like, a shitty ass lead. Like, you know,
Any Scottie vehicle?
Yeah, like, Sam Worthington never became a star. Maybe he was maybe he's a character actor. Or like, maybe he's like, look at Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
Found his role, did his role, carried the heavy lifting. It works for him.
It's funny, you mentioned Sam Worthington, and I'm not joking. I know the name. I know I've seen the movie. Who the hell is Sam Worthington?
Avatar.
Oh. Wait, he was in something else too, right?
He was in...
Clash.
Yeah, he was in the one with Christian Bale.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, I knew he was in a Terminator movie. In,
Clash of the Titans remake.
Oh, that's God. It. Okay, yeah, new. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, Jesus! All right, it's like it's funny because I don't know if you coined that term, but generic white guy. It's like, yeah, it's offensive, but it just fits.
He was the original one. And it's like, you know, they've been coming, and a lot of them been from Australia too. It's the funny thing. Like, it's funny. Chris Hemsworth looks a lot better compared to everybody else they tried to make to be like Chris Hemsworth. It's like, oh, he's hot. He's from Australia. He can be like Thor. Nah, you gotta have talent. Like, being pretty will only get you so far, because you can find a pretty white guy. You can find them anywhere. Give him a gym membership and take him to Supercuts.
Yeah.
like it's not that hard to find one. Like, it's a reason Leonardo DiCaprio stands out or Brad Pitt stands out, because they're actually talented.
Here's something. All right, so here's something. And this is totally, since you mentioned Supercuts, okay? Have you seen, I don't know what you pay for your haircut today, okay?
Uh-huh.
But you went to a real barber shop. You didn't go to, like, Great Clips or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I was outside, and we were walking to a bar somewhere, and I believe it was Great Clips, and they said, come in your haircut, $18.95. I stopped dead in my tracks, and I told Lisa, I was like, do you see that? And she's like, what? I was like, Great Clips. They're charging almost $20 for a haircut. She goes, yeah. And I was like, well, I guess it's been that long since I've got a haircut, but that seems unreasonable for a Great Clips.
I mean, haircuts cost money.
Ugh.
I spent $30, not counting the tip. And I just get the,
you got shaved down and all that, though, right?
Yeah, but it's like Cam spends that much too, and he doesn't get shaved down. It's like, depending on where you live, barbers cost money, cause, and it's worth it because you don't want a bad one. So, yeah, it's funny about hair, and it's funny how, like, it took me a while to find a good barber here because it's like, it's not a lot of people that know how to cut black hair, and it's like, you find one, you got to keep it. So, I have a woman barber. And I've never had one before. Yeah, I've never had one before until that one. Like, she knew what she was doing, and it worked. So it took a while. My wife was like, why you got a woman barber? This, she saw it look like she gave me that whole side eye. Like, what's going on here? It's like, she just cutting my hair there. Don't worry about it. Like, I can't control how she looks. And so don't run up in here and start something. So she accidentally slipped my throat.
Yeah, it's like, you know she's using a straight razor on my head, right? There ain't nothing going on there.
Yeah, like, you know, like, this ain't, I don't want to be like untouchable. Somebody sneezed and they nicked Al Capone. That's not going to be me. So, but yeah, barbers cost money. And if you find a good one, it's worth it.
It's funny because untouchables, like, just ruined any time someone's shaving in a movie, even if it's just, you know, a regular scene. Like, it's not even a horror movie. Every time someone's shaving, I'm like, just waiting for that, like, that to happen. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, the dumb things that'll, like, scar you.
Yeah. Oh, I had a blast from the past last night. Because Darlene hadn't watched before. She watched it. Romeo Must Die is, like, I think it was on Cinemax. It came on. And it had, like, I hadn't seen it in a while. Like, it came out 2000. And it's just funny to think about that one. Because, you know, we always talk about, like, you know, diversity and stuff like that. And, you know, the thing I noticed, it bothers me more about that because it wasn't like it never was there and it started coming back. It used to be there a lot. Like, from, like, I want to say the, what, 70s to, like, the early 2000s. It was a thing. Because this is a movie that had, like, one white guy with speaking lines. One. Like, it's basically like a black and Asian movie, like Jet Li and Aaliyah, like the two leads. And it didn't feel low budget. It didn't feel weird. It felt like a movie. And it's like, that would never come out now. Like a movie, like an action love story movie with like just black and Asian people. And they just play like it's no big thing. Like, think about how much big deal they talked about, you know, Black Panther and Get Out and stuff like that. Like, wow, a whole, we don't get that. And I'm like, that happened. Like, DMX was an action star for a while. Yeah, just think about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm watching the movie, and the main thing I got from the movie was like, I could believe Jet Li could date Aaliyah. Like, I forgot how cool Jet Li was in that movie. Like, yes. He always seemed like he's like Jackie Chan with swag, Jackie Chan with style, because he wasn't corny, he wasn't goofy, like, he was funny, but it was like, yeah, I could, even though, I think they had, what, like a 12-year age difference when he came out, like, either 12 years or 14 years, and it's like, yeah, I saw him, it didn't feel weird, it didn't feel funny, it was like, yeah, I can see why she want to date him, he's all cool, he can fight and everything like that, he's sensitive, like, and it's funny, just thinking about that and just thinking, like, you would never see that now. And it wasn't a big deal then. Like, now, like, imagine, like, if you had, like, a movie like Donnie Yen and Beyonce. Just think of the idea, just the fact that you said that and your reaction right there is like, nobody could believe that. And it's like, that's basically what it was then. And, like, they played it straight and it worked. And it's like, movies are funny. I think all the stuff that used to come out, like, you know, the Rush Hours and those movies and stuff like that. And now it's like, you know, I think we got it up until like the early 2000s, and then we just stopped getting it.
Yes.
And I don't know. Part of me want to say it's comic movies, or I think part of it was like want to be movies went to, you can get all aspects and genres, like all budgets to game. Either you spend a lot of money or you spend a little bit of money. I think is what happened, because no one, no one's spending like $50 million, $60 million on a movie anymore. They're either spending like 10 to 20, or they're spending $100 to $200.
It's funny. It's funny you said that, because I remember seeing Romeo Must Die in the theater. I had to review it for the paper, and outside of Jet Li being cool, I don't remember a lot about that movie. So another one I saw was Ninja Assassin. I don't remember much about that movie either until I started watching it again. Holy shit, violent! I did not remember it being that violent.
Yeah, I was like, earning that R. Like, I didn't see the movie theater. I saw when it came out. I think I don't like believe it. Like, yeah, this is a violent ass movie. Like, almost kind of like Japanese Korean studio. Mm-hmm. If it was like a Korean movie I watched on Netflix, I wouldn't be surprised how violent. Like, this came out. This is like a American budget Joel Silver movie. Like, I guess he really liked this. Like, yeah, I want to see blood coming out of a washing machine.
Well, it was like the opening scene of that, right? Is in the warehouse, and the ninja shows up, and he's fighting everybody in the dark, and all of a sudden he does like the classic, stomps the foot, and everyone just like a piece of them falls off, like everyone's cut in half or something. Or that happened sometime in that movie, and I'm just looking at this going, I don't remember any of this. This is crazy, crazy good too. I that movie got bagged for the dumbest reason. Well, it didn't have much of a story. What's the name of the movie? Is there a ninja? Is he assassinating people?
Yeah,
fuck about your story. That's why, yeah, when you
sometimes
said
it's self-explanatory.
Rim, yeah, that's why when you told me Pacific Rim didn't have but two monster robot fights, and I just went, no, the hell with that movie then. That's stupid. That's what you're supposed to be watching that movie for.
It goes to the whole thing of people being ashamed of what they're really doing. Like, no, if you're doing something, do it all the way, embrace it. Because normally when you embrace stuff, it'll work. Like, that's the reason why Darkman was successful and others like that wasn't. It's like, he went all in. It's like, I'm going to take this goofy-ass story and play straight to the hilt. You know, it's the same. Like, it works. Like, if you're gonna do something, do it. Don't half-ass. Don't, like, when you straddle a fence too many times, you fall on your balls. Don't straddle the fence. Like, just go for it. And it's the same thing we talked about, the main difference between Marvel movies and Fox. Well, Fox is a little different, but like Warner Brothers with DC movies, one embraces what it is and one person's kind of ashamed. They want to make it something else. We're going to make it a psychological this. We want to do this. We want to make Batman seem like a grown-up. Batman's goofy. Batman's for kids. People just try to make Batman, like, it's, you could talk about all the psychological impact of him dealing with like PTSD and totalitarianism and all of that stuff, and Ayn Rand. Like, it's a grown man that's rich dressing up like a bat. When you say that out loud, I don't give a damn how, oh, it's R&D, like, you can real life applications. It's a grown man dressed up like a bat fighting crime by just beating people up. Like, I'm just gonna punch crime to death. Like, that's stuff. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna punch crime to death and clean up Gotham. All you gotta do is, if they just, you know what, we're gonna give Gotham a minimum basic income, universal health care, and fix the transit system, Joker be out of business. Like, that's all you gotta do. Just do big stuff and fix the poverty of Gotham, so you find, like, nah, I'm a bunch of 50-year-olds.
Well, he was doing that, but then his whole career as Batman kind of derailed that. So,
yeah, how you gonna stop the war on drugs? I'm just gonna go punch El Chapo on the face so he stops selling drugs. Let's imagine somebody said, like, I'm gonna go to Mexico. Like, Amanda Sicario came out. I'm not gonna shoot him. I'm just gonna punch him to death. Mm-hmm. I'll punch him till I break their arms, and then lock them up. And then when they escape, I just do it all over again.
Which, like, further increases our healthcare costs. So thanks,
yeah, like,
Batman.
Yeah, like, Batman's a damn sadist. Because if he really was serious, just kill him. But nah, I don't want to do that, because then I'd be just like them. Like, people make the argument, how many people would be alive if he just killed the Joker like 50 years ago?
Well, then also, I mean, we've said this before, how many of these people are like crippled, paralyzed, or, you know, permanently, you know, not scarred, obviously, but just permanently, yeah, like, limps, this and this, probably can't work if they wanted to turn it over a new leaf.
Yeah, like, I'm a drop kick you off a building, and then I'm just going to throw a rope and just break your fall after you fell 9 stories.
Dislocate your ankle, leg, knee.
Okay, or I'm just going to knee you in the skull with a Kevlar knee pad.
Yeah.
You're just going to walk. Like, come on now. Like, I've seen football games, and they play that, and they blow their brains out 35. Imagine Batman beat you up twice. You hanging yourself. Like, I need 20 Vicodin in a day. What happened? Batman happened. He broke flowers in both my legs. What do you think happened? Oh, did you turn over new leaf? I can't even turn over the damn bed.
Yeah. Well, then he's going to beat you up because you're trying to buy, like, your Vicodin's too expensive through your pharmacy. So you go out and try and, you know, I'm going to find it on my own. And he's going to beat your ass. And I was like, well, wait a second, man. You caused this problem.
I swear, Batman is just white privilege gone insane. Like, it's just something about, I know people make jokes about Batman. It's just something about Batman that's just, when you analyze it more than a second, you realize how ridiculous it is. Especially in the comics when they make Batman, I'm like, you know, all these metahumans and aliens and superpower people, and Batman's the most dangerous person alive. Really? Like, Batman just, he's just so damn smart. He does so many push-ups. He just beat people. Like, he can beat the Flash. He can beat Superman. He can beat Wonder Woman. Really? That's how that works? Because I want it more. Like, that sounds like some football nonsense. Like, Batman's just the ultimate coach's son. He's just great. And he just puts 110% on that field. He ain't a slacker like Superman. Superman is trying to get by on alien genetics. Like, give me a goddamn break about Batman.
Yeah. Well, since we're on the real stuff, let's wrap the show up with this. Legends of Tomorrow probably, it did not surpass Black Lightning as number one, but they damn sure tried to make themselves number one. That
Lord.
Episode this week was fantastic.
It on many levels.
It was absurd. It was so, so stupid. But I loved every second of it. Alright, see, I forgot to message you this. I almost wish you hadn't told me about the preview for next week. Because even though I knew what was coming, my mind was still blown when Gorilla Grodd shows up and starts, you know, goes to attack and kill Barack Obama. Or,
yeah. Run, Barry, run.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? So I watched this at a place I should be doing other things, and I immediately, like, the first 5 minutes, whenever that took place, as soon as Grodd came in, for the people who haven't seen this, the fact that a gorilla, a psychic gorilla, mind you, walked on campus of his college and then broke into his dorm and said, Barack Obama, I'm coming for you, or whatever his line was.
Yeah, it'd be almost an honor to kill you.
Yes. I was like, do you understand? I'm watching a superhero show where a giant gorilla just is about to murder the younger version of what our most popular president, you know?
Probably, like, the most popular president of our generation. Like, yeah, and we're just watching it. And you know the funny thing about that? That wasn't even the most batshit crazy thing about the episode. What was the name of the episode? And featuring John Noble.
Okay.
What's... Yeah. No, I need to talk about that whole thing. Because, one, I forgot that he was in Lord of the Rings.
Yes, yeah, so did I.
And then it's like, okay, so they're recruiting the actor John Noble to get his voice to trick Damien Dark's daughter that she's hearing Malice, who's played by John Noble.
Yes.
Like, this... And it's like they found it by watching Lord of the Rings. Like, oh, who's that actor saying those lines? I'm like, this is just some, okay, like, this Easter eggs, and then this is like some meta shit right here. Like, this is like some Deadpool's going, and they just play it straight. Like, you know, we know y'all know the joke. We gonna have fun with the joke. We want y'all to have fun with it too. And I'm just watching this. I'm like, how much weed did they smoke to come up with this?
That's what we were talking about last week, dude. It's just we're going to have a giant gorilla attack our pre- like
Yes, and then have him go back, like, have him give Sarah, you know, pep talks and everything like that, yes, in his wide way, and she's like, you know what, I miss you so much.
Well, like, little the other line, make America God again, is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that, like, that, the birth certificate stuff cracked me up.
Yeah, make sure, you know, make sure you hold on to that, you might need it.
Yeah. Oh,
man. And we're on to Obamacare when they got to save him. It's kind of like they know their audience, and they like that show works in ways it shouldn't work. And then the whole thing with like Damien Dark team, because they make this, because it's funny, they make this speech like, you know, we just can't get it told him to Damien, da da da. And what Sarah do? She just hand it to him.
Yeah,
like, this is what we got to do. We gonna do it and everything. And like, it's one more episode left.
Is it just one?
Just one. Next week. I think next one is the season finale.
Oh, crap.
So Supergirl comes back after that. So, yeah. Like, I'm just watching this. Like, this show should not work as well as it worked. And I'm glad it's goofy, because Black Lightning was, like, that was harsh to watch.
Okay. And that's where I was going to go with this anyways. But before you, from Legends to this, before we leave Legends totally, the Damian Dark stuff worked because, one, Neil McDonough, he can change from, like, you know, his goofy, I don't want to say goofy, I think that's the wrong word, but he can go from his, I don't know, what am I looking for? Just, like, he's kind of hamming it up, you know, he knows what show he's on, but then all of a sudden, he's talking about his daughter in this, and you're like, whoa, like, this just flipped a switch all of a sudden. And I think that whole scenario work. A lesser actor, I don't think it would have been as successful, so.
Yeah. Because it was believable. It's kind of like, you know, I was doing this for the wrong reasons. I see what's happening to my daughter. And, like, him and Sarah got a lot of common. Because Sarah don't, like, I know you don't like me. You're never going to like me. But you kind of understand, like, we're the same, more or less. We wouldn't, like, admit it to ourselves. It was like, it's the reason why we do what we do, because we kind of come to the same thing. And it's kind of like, you tend to forget that about Sarah. And this season, like, the first time I realized, like, they say, like, oh, yeah, I used to be an assassin. Like, no, she used to be like, kill people. And they weren't all necessarily, like, bad guys, like, killing drug dealers or terrorists. Like, she killed whoever she needed to kill. So it's like, that's why she walk around with the weight in the world on her daughter and a black cat always around her. And if anybody would realize that, it's Damian Dark. But they're not going to just be, like, hug it out. It's not like, you still killed my sister. Like, it's still going to be, like, we're going to do what we need to do. But after it's done, it's still going to be hands on sight. Like, that's just some old school stuff that I respect that. And like I say, I like the show. I'm glad it got renewed. And I keep telling people, like, it's the same thing happened with S.H.I.E.L.D. They stopped watching after season one. So when you tell them it's good again, they don't believe it. I'm like, yeah, Legends is, they found all the problems from season one and fixed them. Like, every single one. And it's just like, it's been awesome since then. And they take people that, it helped that they took a lot of popular people from other shows that were already built up and used them. And then it's people like shows they know what to do with. And it's kind of like, you know, Constantine didn't have a show and they use him well. Flash should be ashamed of how they use Wally considering how Legends do it. It's like, that's night and day. Like, it's like, oh, so it wasn't the actor fault of the show. Because it's just funny what happened when they have him, like, they just give him some time and let him do heroic stuff instead of seeing, oh, I'm better than Barry, but Barry, they won't let me be it because I'm not the star. And just, like, that episode where it's like 55 minutes the episode went by, it's like, you guys ain't gone, did you? Like, if that's not a meta line right there, like a inside joke line right there, I know it is. So, yeah.
So let's go to the non-fun show. And I mean that in a positive way, if you want to put it. Yeah, this episode was not fun for just the stuff that happened to him. And they didn't, it was odd to me to see, like, because you've got the duality there, that he is a superhero, but he's still, you know, besides the cops being absolutely corrupt, you know, like, being on the take, which is supposed to be the crux of it, but just the whole scene, him getting arrested, him talking to the kids, him going to jail, the cavity search, which is always an uncomfortable thing to watch, regardless, but you've never seen on any of these shows, any of these superhero shows, to where your hero gets demeaned like that.
Mm-hmm.
And add in everything else on top of that, and it's like,
And they dragged it out with good reason, and it just had an impact. And I'm watching this, I'm like, this is just, you know why I was so uncomfortable? Because it just felt so real.
Yes.
And it wasn't just a fact that it was like, you know, they doing the mask kind of like Jefferson Pierce, like a hero of the community. Because you heard how they were interviewing, like, you know, we call him, like, wasn't it on Black Jesus? Uh-huh. He helped all these kids and stuff. It wasn't for, you know, Jefferson, yada, yada, yada. I wouldn't have graduated. I might be dead. Like, he's a hero to the community. And what you hear all the time, corrupt cops ruining black heroes. And you see him there getting dragged on, beat up, bend over, assuming position, cough, and all this. And he knows he can murder all of them if he wanted to, but he's just got to hold it in. And he's telling his daughter, like, calm down. You don't want to see, you know, last thing you want to see is, you know, angry black person, because you know how that ends with the cops. And he's like, you know, he got mad, like, I'm not resisting, like, you know, I got my hands up, like, don't shoot me. And it's just weird, one, seeing on the CW show, and then two, seeing how the world is and how that's going. Like, that was just painful. Which made, like, to come up is, like, great. Like, seeing how it turned out in the end is, like, good. Because that's the thing about the show. It spent so much time building up the characters and the universe and, like, the city, that stuff like that has weight. Because compare that to, like, when Barry got it. It's like, oh, okay, he got arrested and he's there and he's out of jail in, like, what, two episodes? Like, it didn't have that much weight. It was like, yeah, it was, wow, a thing. It happened, and that was it. Because Barry is a superhero in the city, but you don't really see it. You see, oh, he's stopping this guy with an electric gun, or he's stopping Edge that can jump 10 feet tall, or he's stopping the shark. But beyond that, he doesn't interact with the city. It's like, he's just this weird old guy that works at the cop's office. Black Lightning is kind of like, he's a cult hero. He's out in the public doing stuff. And his alter ego is the same thing. I'm part of the community. My wife, daughters, well, it's a community thing. We make the community important. It's a reason stuff goes the way it goes. Like, it feels like a real city in a way that superhero shows, and most shows, period, don't feel that way. Like, you know, they're in a city, but it doesn't feel like the city. Like, yeah. The Wire is a perfect example. Because it felt like Baltimore. It was like you knew exactly where it was, and like the city had life. Friends, that could have been anywhere. Like, it's in New York City. Part of New York that had no black people, and you didn't have to have a job to live in, like, a, you know, a condo that looked, oh, they got all that space in New York, and three of them don't work? That must be nice. And every time I'm sitting there at the coffee shop drinking coffee, like, it could have been Seattle. It could have been Los Angeles. It could have been anywhere in America. They just haven't been New York because stuff costs a lot of money. You had some weirdos playing a guitar every now and then. So it's like, it's different where you feel like you give way little stuff, and they've done such a great job to make stuff seem important. And I'm finally glad next week Tobias finally comes back.
Okay, so here's the thing. The other part with that is the comeuppance was fine, but as soon as that happened and he had a disagreement with the other dirty cop who got arrested, I immediately went, he's dead. He's not, he's dead. I was waiting at that conference at the end. I was seriously waiting for him to get shot.
You thought a sniper was going to pop him?
Yeah, or somebody was going to come up or whatever else, and that was going to be it. Because he acted, and there was a weird line too, which he says, like, yeah, I know how this works or whatever. So it's like, well, wait a minute. Was he on the take for a while?
No, he just knows this whole thing is kind of like, you know, it's all these problems. They're going to put me in here to be the face that's supposed to be, like, make stuff better. Like, sweep out the old trash and get trash. Like, he knows that. He understands the optics of the city and how things look. Because, like, they see him and they're like, why are you going to be any different? And it's up to him to kind of, like, convince the city, like, I'm going to be different. And it's like, you don't see that. Well, and you especially don't see that, like, these CW shows. And then at the end, like, they're all at the dinner table. Like, it's like, you know, we ain't where we were before, but you did save my life and not see this effort. So it's like, we just going to make it work with it work. And it's just like, episode end with, like, a family and the quote-unquote uncle eating pizza and salad. Like, a family thing. And it's like, This feels like a real life thing. It just happened to have superpowers, and it made, like, we normally don't talk about shows a lot. We talk about, like, when important stuff in or renewal stuff. We talk about Black Lightning, what, six times, seven times, because it's earned
Black
it.
Black Lightning every episode but one.
Yeah, because it's earned it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to, like, we're actually talking about this on one of the Stunt Granny, the preview shows, like, we blew through the SmackDown stuff because it's all the matches, like, we're really looking forward to and, like, just thinking about how good they're going to be. So it's easy to talk about positive stuff. It may not be the most interesting thing, but after a while you get tired of talking. That's why I don't talk about Flash much. And I'm not down on Arrow, but Arrow just seems aimless this year.
Yeah, and this kind of like
this was like, yeah,
and not only that, it was like, not the fact, it's like, see, this last season was so strong and it could have like used as a catapult, and it's like they catapulted themselves into a damn wall, and like they're just leaving like that. Like, I know it wasn't their fault because something, you know, we talked about what happened, but it's just sad that she went from like a major part of the show and like they were going to build it up to be something special to like, okay, she don't want to do this anymore, but she not, we don't know what to do, so we going to kind of write stuff out. It's like they're going to spin off to something else. See this, her and Roy just, we're going to go off to the sunset with Nisa and like find the lakes, find whatever. What's the damn
pit.
Lazarus Pits. I'd see that show, like, okay, when we gonna see that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe that show come on Sunday. Since CW adding all these new shows, maybe that'll be a show or something like that. Because, like, that's it? You just leaving? And it's just like, it's part of it's just the show's been on so long, and it's hard to do street grounded stuff. Especially when they take away your best parts. It's like, you know, how many times do you show him not trusting his friends? How many times you show him making bad decisions? How many times you show him riding Felicity? Although I'm looking forward to tonight's episode and Diggle finally fighting, because that's been building up for like this whole, I thought you were going to let me be Arrow and you lied. And he's like, oh, you know, he'll be worried about Felicity. Like, no, he got problems with that. And Oliver's like, oh, he'd be all right.
Okay, and we got to get out of here because I got to pack. Here's the thing. I don't get why it's such a big deal to Diggle. He's already, I mean, he can just use the crossbow thing, whatever else. I mean, I'll explain it more tonight. It just seems weird. And it's got to go past more than, you know, Oliver saying, hey, you're going to be Green Arrow now. And then take it back. It's like, well...
No, you remember we talked about this whole sidekick and superhero thing in way beginning of the show? They made an effort of saying how important it was for Diggle to do that. Because he had this, you remember when they had like the, when they were in the second crossover episodes, when they were in like the Dominator's like mind dream. And what was Diggle doing? Everybody had their fantasies, what they really wanted to do. And Oliver was going to get married and such as doing this. And what was Diggle's? He was a superhero. Like, he was basically Green Arrow. That was his fantasy. To be the man. Like, he always wanted that. Like, that's always been a thing. He's made a big effort talking about, like, this is what I wanted to do. This is what I always wanted. Go ahead, be a family man. I got this. So to have that, finally get the chance, have it taken away due to circumstance, and then you're able to do it again, and Oliver's like, because Oliver's whole thing's been, I'm only doing it because I got a son. I don't need to be doing it anymore. Have you do it. And then Oliver's like, well, nah, I do it because I love it so much. I'm addicted to the action. Like that, like Paul, like Brian in Furious 7. That was his whole arc. Dominic's like, why are you doing this? Like, but you're addicted to bullets, stuff blowing up. You're a family man. Go be a family man. It's the same thing like Oliver. You married. You got a son. You the mayor. Go be the damn mayor. Have sex with Felicity and watch your little mongrel little son. Like, make him less annoying. Do that. Like, enjoy your Oliver Queen. Enjoy being Oliver Queen. Why are you running around shooting people with arrows? You got other people to do that. Be, like, it's the same thing, Batman. Be the damn mayor. Like, don't go on that kid stuff. And that's where I can see where it comes in. It's because Dick was kind of like, not only does he want to do it, he don't see why... Why are Oliver doing it? So I'm looking forward to see this episode because it's always been those three, and just to see them have conflict, because it's kind of, they've kind of teased it here and there during the seasons, but this, like, seeing the previews and seeing them like almost like a damn fist fight, I'm like, I want to see what led them to get to that point.
Well, see, here's the thing. You forgot Diggle's got a kid at home too. So it's like, I don't know, maybe they'll play it back and forth like, well, you got a kid at home, whatever else. Like, well, so do you. You got a baby, stupid. I mean,
Lila's watching them.
I guess. Wherever she is.
with all those Argus babysitters. Well, I'm glad they brought her around, because we talked about before, kind of like, it was that vibe where you think, like, he's not going to mess around with Dinah. Is because it was kind of like it felt that way for a while till they brought back Vigilante, and then it's like, oh yeah, you know, because you knew it wasn't gonna happen. But like, because Dylan was like a dirtbag. It's like, he's married with a child. How would that look? You can't be. See, it's funny. Oliver could do that in season one. Like, you know, oh yeah, Tommy, you my friend, take your girl. Like, that's. It's funny in hindsight how just disgusting that is, and how much of an asshole Oliver used to be. It's kind of like, he can't do that now. It would be like, you know, I'm cheating with Felicity with Nisa. Like, no, that wouldn't look right. It would just look, that's something like Gotham would do. That would just look wrong and Arrow. But no, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm be watching that while I'm packing and going to New Orleans too, and enjoying WrestleMania. And hope it's supposed to rain tomorrow, Saturday. Unfortunately, hopefully that changes. So we'll see.
It was just Saturday.
It was changed. Like, it's been changing. Let me look most updated ones. So yeah, Friday thunderstorms, high 79. Saturday thunderstorms, high 71. So
well, it looks like I'll be breaking out the Jesus sandals. So,
oh God, Jesus, hey, Sandals. So, Jesus Sandals on Bourbon Street during the rain.
Oh shit, thanks, man. That's a good call.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do that at your own peril. You're gonna smell like Jesus on the second day.
On that note, let's get the hell out of here. Cause, I don't know. We'll catch up while we're there. Obviously, we just got to figure out what's. So thanks for listening, gang. Stunk Raining, all social media. We watch stuff. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform. We will be in Orlando. You don't really know what we look like, but if you do, say hi if you see us. I don't know what they'll be in if you're on Bourbon Street, so just be prepared. So, see you later. Have fun, and enjoy WrestleMania if you're into that thing.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and hopefully you enjoy WrestleMania. Batman. Fight crime the right way. Stop beating up old people. We are out.